This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on, New Yorkers carried the torch lit by the flames of Ferguson protests, rising up against racist policing. Featuring the families of victims of police murders who tell their stories, and we the people expressing our feelings at New Yorkers' historic march. But first, Mimi talks with Dr. William Barber, founder of Moral Mondays and North Carolina chair of the NAACP.
If you can just describe what the circumstances of the North Carolina death.
We're investigating now the hanging death of Lennon Lacy in Bladenburg, 17-year-old high school student. The authorities in this small rural town are trying to say it was a suicide. The family is questioning that, as well as our pathology. There are too many unanswered questions. We've gotten information that it was a matter of foul play, racism, white supremacy, and drugs may have been involved. We're calling for a full federal investigation. They did a shabby job of an investigation claiming that it was suicide, even though the boy was found with the wrong shoes on. The physics of the hanging doesn't work. So we're marching and pushing for a federal investigation. Our pathologist said that the investigation did not meet the minimum standard of investigation of a death scene. How you take care of a crime scene determines everything. When the mother got there to view the body, they were already removing the yellow tape and allowing the crime scene to be contaminated.
When did this happen?
August 29th this year. But it goes to show that the issue of policing and how our communities are treated, whether it's an arrest, whether it's an investigation, or whether it's in profiling, that there's an indictment on the system right now, and we have to really work to fundamentally shift the system. For instance, if this was a white young man, honor student, high school football player, 17 years old, that had been found hanging in a predominantly black trailer park, known for drug activity, we do not believe it would have quickly been ruled a suicide if he happened to be a white young man. So these are issues we've got to deal with very seriously.
I'm just wondering, really, where you see going. What is the departure now? What do we bring to the table aside from the myriad demonstrations that actually are being held around the world?
Yeah. I see it all as a part of a connecting. The first thing we've got to do is back up this reincarnation of the theories of the bell curve, this born suspect that black and brown, Latino and African American men and women go through, this notion that people have some kind of innate criminality. You know, Charles Murphy pushed that through in the bell curve, and he was disregarded in spite of many of us as being a racist. But you're hearing the philosophy of his argument all over places like Fox News when they say, well, people shouldn't have done this or that. Secondly, we must have a serious recording of police killings. You know, there is no particular way of categorizing and chronicling that. In fact, the NAACP is working on a bill right now, I think just passed the Senate last night, that we hope will be signed. Next, we have to have some indictment.
A bill that would do what?
That would say that police departments have to report in a unified way killings and the surrounding of the killings. Because right now, it's not done. We the best statistics we have is that black men are 23 times more likely to be killed than one every 28 hours, almost one every day. Now, that was the same number of black men that were lynched when the NAACP was founded. One per day was the average. And now we're having one every 28 hours being killed by an officer of the law, security guard, or somebody acting as a vigilante. We're also going to have some serious indictments and going to have some federal standards of prosecution. When the prosecutor is connected to the police at the local area, it won't work. We need special prosecutions. We need cameras on every policeman's body. We need extensive and retraining of police. We need diversity in our police departments across this country. We must decide as a nation. We do not support any law enforcement that will take a badge and a gun in my name, not in their name, in my name, because it's their acting on behalf of the state, and use it in a way that kills black men or black boys. That's too much power for a bigot, for a racist, or for somebody who thinks that that gives them the right to be a bully with lethal force.
Reverend Barber, though, the function of policing, well, isn't it about what James Baldwin brilliantly suggested many years ago, was really the enforcement of white man's law in New York now, broken windows policy, evolved under the Giuliani administration, is carried forward by his police commissioner, now under the liberal de Blasio administration. So isn't it about the function and policies of policing rather than some accountability after the fact? Or
both hands. In fact, the matter, we know that in this country, for instance, the way we incarcerated in prisons has a deep racial history, has a deep class history. That's one of the reasons why we have to address the continuing disparities in the criminal justice system as it relates to black, brown, and poor white people. We must make sure that the philosophy of protect and serve is the driving force and not the philosophy of shooting and killing. And wherever that philosophy is, wherever there's systemic problems, we have to root it out. I do marches, and I've been in places where police have done great jobs protecting us in marches. I'm going to do one Saturday where potentially where the Ku Klux Klan may show up. This is in the South, in Bladenboro. And yes, we've called on the police that we know will do their jobs the correct way. But what we have is an indictment on our system. And you're right, there is a disparate treatment of minorities and African Americans and the poor. Michelle Alexander has clearly laid it out when it comes to the new Jim Crow, this industrialized complex. We've got to unpack it. We know that in Ferguson, for instance, they have a policy of sales tax and a policy of ticketing to fund the government. 13% of the city government is funded through ticketing. It actually encourages policemen to get more tickets, i.e. encourages racial profiling. We should not be funding that city that way. There are deep systemic changes that have to be taken. We don't need law officers that see themselves as wearing a badge, and that badge gives you a license to kill because of the color of someone's skin, because of their sexuality, or because of their class.
And the function of Moral Mondays and also building economic justice?
It is what we call intersectionality, bringing together a fight for economic sustainability, educational equality, fairness in the criminal justice system, guaranteeing health care for all, environmental justice, and protecting the fundamental rights of voting, the LGBT community, the immigrant community, the labor community, and women's rights. When you bring all of those things together, you have what we call fusion politics. And if you look at this country, when we've ever had substantial reconstruction, what you're talking about, systemic change, whether it was in the 1800s or in the 1960s, it has always been a fusion coalition. We need a 21st century fusion coalition today. I believe we're in the embryonic stages of it.
Thank you, William Barber. Thank you for all the work that you've been doing, which has been an inspiration. Hope it does come together as a national movement.
Thank you so much.
Well, I can almost believe that it will come together as a national movement.
It is.
Because hundreds of thousands across the country, led by families of victims of police murder, black and brown youth most vulnerable to racist policing, and a really diverse group of supporters marched against the governmental policies, their implementation, and the internalized racist attitudes at the heart of the license to kill people of color.
Amidst the anguish felt by the participants over the most recent deaths of people of color at the hands of the police, the crowds gave promise to pulling together nationally in a sustained effort to confront racist police policies that give police the license to kill black and brown.
Let's go to the demonstration and let's see if you agree that maybe we're on the precipice of a national mobilization, a sustained series of actions and institution building to combat police violence.
No justice!
No peace!
What do we want?
Justice!
¿Qué queremos? Justicia! ¿Cuándo?
Ahora!
Well, I'm with the mother of Anthony Rosario and have been on many demonstrations in response to your son. Tell us, after all this time, what your thoughts are about what people need to know about the policing in this city, in communities of color.
We see time and time again that the police has no mercy for our children. Why should we have mercy for them? For 19 years, I've been out here protesting. For 19 years, Ms. Baez, Juanita Young, Nicholas Haywood, we all been here telling the public, this is not going to stop. But people need to stop to relaxing, because once they start relaxing, that's when the murders start. Unfortunately, Bratton is a commissioner again. We know that he's brutal. We know that he needs to get stepped down. And we need to get that prosecutor to...
You're talking about a special prosecutor?
Yes, definitely. A special prosecutor to process these cases, because we know that these DAs sleep with the police department. And like just like Mary Jo White slept with Giuliani. And then, of course, there was no indictment on my case because Patrick Brunson and James Quo were bodyguards to Mayor Giuliani at one time. Patrick Brunson and James Quo, the two killers of Anthony Rosario and Hilton Vega.
Well, I thank you for your years and years of dedication, of struggle, of leadership. You've really given fortitude and courage to the rest of us. So still to the end of, at some point, justice for Anthony Rosario. Thank you, really. For decades now, my brother Nicholas Hayward Sr., my Brooklyn comrade, has been out here. Still no justice, mirroring the situation with the death of your son, which, of course, the last time I spoke to you was right after we found that a Kai Gurley was killed in the public housing project in a similar manner to your son. What are your thoughts on a day like this?
I am amazed, I am proud, and I have so much respect for the people for coming out on a continuous basis demanding the end to police terror, police brutality, and police murder. This crowd should feel like Harriet Tubman. They kept going back to save more lives. It's the unjust verdict of Eric Garner and the refusal as of yet to indict the young man, Akai, what's his last name?
Akai Gurley.
And the people are sick and tired of constantly the injustice that's been going on in not only in New York City, but across the country.
How do you keep on keeping on, brother? I don't know what to say to somebody like you who has never gotten justice for the death of their son who was 13 years old playing in the public housing project like any child.
Things has to change. There has been over 365 innocent victims since my son Nicholas Jr. was killed. The police who are not held accountable are still allowed to roam the streets with the ability to shoot and kill again. So what keeps me motivated is to put an end to this. We don't need not one more life to be lost at the hands of the criminal justice system.
Maybe we can take a couple of these street signs also and change them the name to Nicholas Hayward Jr., 13-year-old killed by the NYPD September 27th, 1994. Nicholas, for your perseverance, for your stamina, for your leadership all these years, you're special.
I thank you for that.
Well, I'm here while I'm with Iris Baez, and this is the 20th year where Anthony Baez, your son, on a holiday season just like this, was playing touch football in the street in front of his house with his brothers when a football hit the police car that was parked there, and that led to a chokehold that took his life. But tell us what your thoughts are 20 years after the loss at the hands of Francis Lavotti of your beloved son, Anthony Baez.
I'm very proud of all this youth down here that demanding justice for a change. It's the first time I've ever seen so many young people gathering around. There isn't enough words for me to say the happiness that I feel right now with all the youth. It's going to be 20 years that my son was murdered in front of my house while playing with his three brothers.
Aside from your individual pain, you've been out there at so many demonstrations. And what are some of the changes that you would like to see happen, which maybe with this kind of outpouring?
Making it prosecutors that live in the cases that have nothing to do with the police at all. And some judges need to get off the bench because they lay down with the cops.
So you think that a major thing that has to happen, which has been a call for decades now, is a special prosecutor? And I just want to pursue this for a minute, because in Brooklyn, Ken Thompson says, well, do you really want to put that power in the hands of one person by having a special prosecutor?
Who doesn't have family members of police, who doesn't
like in Long Island, everybody and the cat is a cop. And we need somebody that's independent of everybody. He looks at the facts. And it's the fact that speaks for himself. We need a change. We need a change of government. We need a change of... The parents are supposed to be in charge. The parents that they murder their children are the ones that should be making the, you know, the changes.
You did get a federal civil rights investigation.
Yes.
And Officer Lavoti spent some small amount of time in jail.
Don't forget the DA said that heads were going to roll. No heads rolled. Lavoti went in because he was an abuser. He had 15 prior complaints. That's the only reason the federal stepped in to take him out. But what about all the others that commit perjury? And they go home, and then they have this picture of what's going to happen. And if they see that they don't do nothing to you, they, I can do it too. That's why I said you need stun guns. You don't need guns.
And we're here with Iris Baez. I'm here with two young women. One has a sticker on that says mass incarceration plus silence equal genocide. And the other sister here has Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Justice. Aside from being here today, where do you think we go? And what do you think the underpinnings of these murders are?
Marches and protests and rallies and gatherings. I think that's a good start. Oh, to keep the movement going, I think, is the most important part, not to stop.
And where are you from?
Ohio, Cleveland.
Since you mentioned Cleveland, one of the most tragic situations that has occurred in recent weeks is the death of 12-year-old Tamir Rice. Take us to Cleveland and what some of the sentiments and feelings and concerns are. And what made you travel all the way from Cleveland?
I just felt like I needed to be here. But in Cleveland, it's bad. Not only because it's a child who was killed for no reason, but also no one cares. You aren't allowed to grieve for the child, regardless of what happened. We aren't allowed to be sad about it. There's excuse after excuse of why, you know, it's okay that it happened. So it's just sad. It's frustration everywhere. I feel like it's not much different from being here. Or if I went to Ferguson, same thing there. Like, it's just frustration. We're tired.
The motivation, the imperative to come here.
No matter what you have to do, there's so many other things we can be doing.
To the court because
in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
So you're saying Black Life Matters, and that's really at the core of what caused you to travel all the way here?
Absolutely.
What do you do when you go back to keep the momentum up?
I work at the Boys and Girls Club in Columbus, so I just make sure that the kids know. Anytime we sit down, we go through the things going on, get their input, guide their thinking to understand how to navigate throughout, because they're kids. And obviously, I'm an adult, they can be impacted. A 12-year-old boy was shot and killed, they can be impacted. You know, it's just making sure that they know how to navigate in a world that's ridiculous.
I agree with her completely. But, you know, just keep attending events like this. There's a lot of teachings and workshops, things like that. Almost everyone I come in contact with, I speak to them to see where their thought is. If I care about you, I have to show you things if I feel it's important, you know. So just to continue to educate and educate myself.
Let's hope we get the kind of critical mass that's going to make people sit up and take notice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Who are you?
My name is Tyshayla Reed. Brene Bishop.
Thank you, and welcome to New York. I'm also encouraged by, it seems that organized labor is in the house as well, and there are numbers of signs of the UAW, the United Automobile Workers Union. And
my name is Nada Rosenstein, and I'm the president of Local 2110. And we represent people at Columbia and the Museum of Modern Art and Barnard and Teachers College and NYU, and they're all here today because we feel so many of our members feel so strongly about this and are so angry at this miscarriage of justice. And our union has called upon the Justice Department to do a investigation of this since this justice was miscarried in New York State.
Maida Rosenstein, thank you for being here with all your members with a great UAW side.
Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down! Shut it down!
I'm interested in what brings you here and whether you're heartened by the huge number of people that you saw here today.
It affects me because it's my people dying out here. It's mostly blacks and Hispanics is getting killed out here. And those are my people. We're the original people of the planet Earth. You feel me? That's why we are here, to support our brothers and sisters that's getting murdered in the streets by these savages.
What needs to be done? Always the real difficult question, because a lot of folks have been out here for a lot of years over the loss of black lives at the hands of killer cops. What needs to be done?
Basically, what needs to be done is a collective show of strength and unity and love from all human families of the planet Earth, because this is like an ecosystem. If you kill one living being, it affects all living beings.
True indeed.
And we have to come together as a collaborative force, as one energy, and that's how you prove that God exists, because God is good.
True indeed.
So, what neighborhood are you from?
I'm from the Bronx. We come from all over. From he's from LES, he's from Jersey, he's from that. We're universal.
He's from Puerto Rico.
Tell us about it.
His name was Jason Tirado. He got shot by an off-duty cop on a highway. The bullet went in through his back, went in through his lung, and the cop disappeared for over 72 hours.
This
happened on the FDR Drive in 116th Street. He grew up with me on 11th Street and Avenue D. Now, that's a murder investigation for 3 days. They were trying to find a murderer. And when they found him, he was a cop, he got off. This was last year, around this time. 2008 or 7, around this time. It happened contemporary to the Sean Bell case.
Do other of your neighbors and friends, do they share the sentiment? Are they cynical and not willing to come and protest? What do they feel?
Everybody's willing to come and protest.
Had enough. Enough is enough. There needs to be a whole restructure within the police department, because if you look within the police department, they train them. When they go to police academy, they tell them chokehold and all that is illegal, but then they out here killing our people. They shooting first and taking asses last.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
We gotta move.
Thank you.
And who are you?
5% Nation. Nation of Gods and Earth.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Asian silence equal Asian consent. Tell us about your sign, brother.
The myth of the model minority is used to not only take away complexity and accomplishments from Asians, but also used to divide the races, to use it as a measuring stick to oppress other races. So we need to show solidarity. This systemic racism affects everybody.
Who are you?
My name is Anthony. I'm a teacher from Brooklyn.
By the way, do you talk to your students about this?
I do, yeah. We had a whole lesson on Ferguson and Eric Garner.
What school?
Brooklyn Latin School.
So the administration doesn't say this isn't the place?
They actually encourage it. It's a whole department and a school-wide initiative.
You must be an awfully wonderful teacher to have. Thank you. I can't not pick out somebody with the Malcolm X side. The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent the guilty and the guilty the innocent from Malcolm X. Tell us why you chose a sign about the media in response to all of this tragedy.
I feel like if a young black kid is shot and killed by someone, they choose a picture of them not smiling, looking like a thug or something, and then they bring out, oh, he has prior arrest, or he was in drug use. What does that have to do with a child in the street dead? It has nothing to do with that. If someone's being arrested, sure, pull out the prior arrest and drug use. Sure, pull out the thug pictures, but if you're dead in the street, that has nothing to do with anything at all whatsoever. And I think it's wrong of the media to use that as a means of justifying a killer.
Right after Kai Gurley was killed, the New York Post, within an hour of his death, had on its front page a mugshot, mind you, of a Kai Girley. Is that part of what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, because again, that doesn't justify a killer. Cops are killers. They're killing innocent black people. They're not paying the price for it. They're the same as us. They commit the same crimes. They need to serve the same time. So the fact that the media supports that by using prior arrests and drug use on the victims, it doesn't help anybody at all.
Thank you for the profundity of those thoughts and statement, and for alerting us to the role that the media plays.
I can't breathe. You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You can't breathe.
I can't breathe.
You can't breathe.
So I see that New Jersey People's Organization for Progress.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. What does my Jersey contingent think about all this?
That's awesome. I'll tell you why. I just left the march in Newark.
All right.
And we did good over there. But when we got here, we said, this thing is awesome. We were just estimating how big the crowd was. I was estimating 50,000.
Oh, no. There's much more. This has been marching for over an hour now. So yes. Tell us about what happened in Jersey today.
We had a very good crowd. It was a very diverse crowd, just like you have here, with every race and nationality there. You had people from various unions, the teachers' union, you know, number 99.
And what about you?
Yeah, we went over to the federal building on Broad Street and did a die-in in the street calling for federal prosecutions with these police murders.
Absolutely. Prosecutions for who?
For the Garner case. We talked for Ferguson as well, and also in New Jersey for Abdul Kamal, keeping the pressure on all these local cases of police murder that we see that's in Irvington.
Absolutely.
We had people from his family come up and speak. Got unarmed black men being killed by the police. You know, there was no video camera, unfortunately, but there was no evidence that he
doesn't seem to matter much if there is a video camera, does there?
Right, and that was one of the things Larry Hamm was talking about. He said, you know, we agree with reformist practices like having video, but even with the video, we still can't get an indictment over here. So what do we really need in order to get justice?
And I'm in Ifo, and who are you with that lovely, it just radiates out, that pop shirt, red. The green, yellow, red, black shirt?
Matt Bender.
Matt Bender, thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.